You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
All right. Thank you, counsel. We took up a evidentiary ruling outside the presence of the jurors. Mr. Pryor, you may continue with your cross-examination.
We talked a little bit about the fact that you're aware that Alex visited the gun range in September of 2019, right?
Yes.
You're not aware of whether he had visited or went to any gun ranges when he was living in Arizona 6 months prior. You didn't look into that. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, officer, on your, this will be tricky. On your Homer J. Maximus, you talked about a number of searches. Didn't you recall that, correct?
Yes.
Oops, Judge, this is the Elmo. I'm sorry.
And what is it you're publishing? Okay. This is part of Exhibit 107B.
And this talked a little bit about the gun and the distance and everything else, correct?
Yes.
And what I'm wondering about is that the first one that says the Grendel drop 100 to 200 yards, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now, Tammy Daybell's driveway, and you described it as the distance between the end of the desk there and towards this first section here, correct?
Yes.
And for a clear record, we're 30 to 40 feet?
Sure.
Okay. Now, if we do math and look at 100 yards, how many feet is 100 yards? Do you know?
Well, there's...
I can help if you'd like.
Yeah, help me out.
Yeah, me too. I had to look at... No, I didn't have to look it up. It's 3 feet per yard.
Correct.
Okay, I'm sorry. And I know you weren't... That's not fair. It's 3 feet per yard. Okay, you know that, right? So if we're looking at a Grendel drop, we start at 300 feet, right?
Okay.
And then if we go to 200 yards, we go to 600 feet. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Now, none of those feet distances really apply to Tammy Daybell's driveway, right?
Not her driveway.
Okay. And then the 100 yards to 300 yards is the same thing, 300 feet to 900 feet, correct?
Yes.
So obviously what he was looking at this point is the distance and how to put a rifle and the amount of drop after you shoot it, that the bullet drops after a certain distance, right?
Yes.
And when was this in October?
This was searched October 8th.
Okay. And, you know, when I looked at this, I was curious, is there any indication that Alex Cox purchased a big game hunting license in October?
That I am unaware of.
Okay. And would you agree with me that October is also hunting season for various big game?
It is hunting season, yes.
Okay. And then he looked at, and you could use a Grendel for a hunting gun, is that correct?
You could, yes.
Yeah. Okay. And if you were to purchase pants and just trying to just conceal yourself while you were out hunting, it wouldn't be inappropriate to buy different various suits to conceal yourself. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Oops. I'm grateful to whoever put the tape up there. And then we go to October 10th, how to prepare your AR for cold weather. Now, if you're out shooting and you're out hunting, and I'm not suggesting we use an AR for hunting, but in October, when you're out hunting, that's a cold time to go hunting, isn't it?
Yes, it could be cold.
Okay. Okay. And then we talked a little bit about the ghillie suit and potentially that could be something that could be used as a hunting outfit when you're out in the game hunting, right?
Could be, yes.
Yeah. Well, you can buy those at Sportsman's Warehouse or Cabela's or any of those stores, right?
Yes.
You looked into that and that's where you get them, right?
You can, yes.
Yeah, sportsman stores for outdoor activities in October, right? Right?
Yes, you can buy them there.
Okay. 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 Now, what we did is then we looked at a FBI simulation of shooting a 5.56 through car doors and walls. And a 5.56 is a type of a bullet, right?
Yes.
Okay. And that's a specific bullet. And what it appears is there was a search to see what kind of a bullet would go through car doors and walls, correct?
Yes.
And then you would also see what kind of caliber under that would penetrate a windshield, correct?
Yes.
Now, we know that the allegations about Alex Cox is that he took a shot at Brandon Boudreau, correct?
Yes.
And in relation to Lori Vallow, Brandon Boudreau was Lori Vallow's, no, Melanie Pawlowski was Lori Vallow's niece, right?
Yes.
And she was married to Brandon Boudreau.
Yes.
So Brandon Boudreau was the male spouse of Alex Cox's niece, Melanie Pawlowski, right? Correct?
Yes.
Okay. So Alex Cox took a shot at the male member of the relationship between Melanie, Lori's family, and the male, right?
Yes.
And then Alex Cox murdered husband number four by taking a gun and shooting him at close range. And that was Lori Vallow's husband number four, correct?
I'm not sure what husband it was.
Okay. Well, she's had five, right?
Okay.
Well, do you know that?
I'm not 100% sure on how.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Okay. So, but we do know that Alex Cox is accused of murdering Charles Vallow, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, when I go down, you testified that Chad Daybell, well, before we get that, it would seem that, would you agree with me that it would seem that the searches here, the Google searches, would suggest that Alex Cox is looking at shooting at some sort of a Dodge Dakota vehicle. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
And it looks like it wasn't for target practice. It was to do some harm, correct?
I don't know what his intent was, but it's not target practice, I would say.
Well, it wouldn't be target practice if you're trying to penetrate a windshield, is it?
No.
And it isn't target practice if you're asking how thick is the 22 gauge steel on a Dodge Dakota, right?
No.
So apparently what Alex Cox had in mind was to do some harm for whoever is driving a Dodge Dakota, correct?
Yes.
Are you aware that Chad Daybell was the one driving the Dodge Dakota?
Objection, Your Honor. Facts not in evidence.
Stand.
Are you aware of the two vehicles that Chad and Tammy Daybell owned?
I'm aware of a Dodge Dakota that was registered to both of them.
Right. But you don't have any specific information about whether or not it was Chad who was the primary driver of the Dodge Dakota, right?
I don't have any facts that he was the primary driver, no.
Okay. Okay. Now, as part of your investigation, you talked a little bit about phone records, right? Alex's records in terms of his location, right?
On Homer J. Maximus device.
Okay, yes. And you looked at that. What was the device that you were reviewing to determine that?
I'm not sure what device that was.
Okay. All right, then we'll save that for another day. Now, Judge, previously we stipulated and the court entered Exhibit Number 14. I'd like the court's permission to go over Exhibit 14 with the witness.
All right, has that previously been admitted?
Judge, I have it here with a stamp on it. I think we had already established it to that.
Yes, Your Honor.
Established and stipulated to it, Judge. I'm sorry.
And the state had reviewed this. It's my understanding these are the extracts from Tammy Daybell's phone or contain extracts. I think it's actually a police report referencing those extracts from her phone.
Okay. It's been admitted, so it may be published.
Okay. If I could just have a moment, Judge. I'm sorry. Judge, I'm ready when...
Your Honor, I hate to do this, but can we briefly approach?
Yes. All right, counsel. Before publishing that particular exhibit, we just redacted an identifier mark from that we caught. So you may go ahead and publish when you'd like, Mr. Pryor.
Now, officer, on this particular document, I would represent to you that this is one of your reports. Do you, on the little bit that you're seeing, do you recognize that?
Yes.
So on March 16th, you received information from Google LERS. What's LERS?
Google LERS Law Enforcement.
Okay. And you asked for information attached to this, and this was information that you were getting regarding Tammy Daybell's email account. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Did you get the entire email account?
Yes.
And did you go through the entire email account?
Yes.
And you reviewed all of the emails, and you made a determination as to which ones you, in particular, felt were relevant to this case. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And then you said after looking at the emails... No, you didn't include the ones that were significant. And there were photos, emails, chats, the information that I found relevant to the investigation, you know, you see attached here, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then would you read the line that starts in the email folder, our chats? Would you read that one for me?
In the email folder, our chats between Tammy and Mark while on his mission. Want me to read the whole
thing? If you would, if you don't mind.
There are also chats between Mark, Tammy, Seth, Garth, and Emma. During some chats, it is very clear that Chad is messaging. In the chats, it is also clear that chats are coming from Tammy's email.
Okay. And then I'll go to the next line saying, looking over the inbox of Tammy's email, it shows... Let me get a record, right? Looking over the inbox of Tammy's email, it shows the first section is chats, mainly with Mark, while he is on his mission. In the chats, it does not show the time or date when the chats are taking place, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then the line below, why don't you read the line below for me?
While looking over the chats, there are several that lead me to believe Tammy, along with Mark, Emma, Garth, Seth, and Leah, have knowledge of the belief in light and dark people that Chad talked about and believed.
Okay. So what I gather from that is your assessment in the reports that after you reviewed all of the emails and all, and you said you reviewed them all.
Yes.
That's a significant job.
Yes.
And in reviewing all of those, you came to the conclusion that the Daybell, Tammy Daybell, Chad Daybell, and his five children had knowledge of the belief in light and dark people.
Yes.
And the light and dark is a religious reference that's mentioned by Chad, right?
Yes.
It's mentioned by other people in this case, right?
Yes.
It's also mentioned to some extent in predominantly most religions. Would you agree with that?
Say that again.
Predominantly in most religions, there's a reference to light and dark, right?
I can't testify that.
Okay.
I don't know all the religions.
Okay. And then the religious practice that these folks practice, that Tammy and the children and Chad practices, of what faith?
LDS.
Okay. Okay. Then we go on, and if you would... I'll take a look at the next one where it says, during the chats, Mark's camera was not working and Tammy informed him that his camera was cursed and Dad was removing it, right?
Yes.
Okay. In more chats, Mark asked if anything was found or notable in him when he was body coded. I'm not sure what body coded means. Do you have any knowledge of what body coded talks about?
No.
Okay. Okay. But it was Mark who was talking about the body coding. Would that be your assessment?
Yes.
Okay. And then Tammy responds, you has a lot of weapons, negative cords and curses, plus trapped emotions. We cleared out quite a bit. We'll do that more regularly for you. So the second to the last sentence says, we cleared it out, right?
Yes.
That would you believe that was Tammy and Chad who were clearing out these negative cords and curses?
In this email, yes.
Okay. And then we'll do that more regularly for you. And again, it's we'll do that more regularly for you. That implies that it was both Tammy and Chad talking about helping them clear out these weapons, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then we go down to the next one, and it starts with, on another chat, Chad said, Mom and I taught 12-year-old Sunday school yesterday. Canyon Scott's actions confirmed he is 4.2 dark. You see that?
Yes.
Do you have any knowledge as to whether Canyon Scott is dead or has been murdered or any investigation into that kind of a matter?
I have no knowledge of that.
Okay. And do you know who Canyon Scott is?
I do not.
Okay. But obviously, it's someone who attends church attends Sunday school where Chad and Tammy went to their... Sunday school, right?
Yes.
So we could presume that it was someone in Fremont or Madison County, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then it goes on, I will enjoy watching his growth to world terror and domination. And then Emma replies, I like Canyon though. I'll slow down. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. The next line is, I will enjoy watching his growth to world terror and domination, right?
Yes.
Emma replies, I like Canyon, though. Tammy and Chad reply, unfortunately, he's already influencing Will Dowling. Who's Will Dowling? Do you know?
I do not.
Okay. Then Mark goes, I like Jose O, and I can't pronounce that last name, Ojeda also. Then Mark says, darkness is interesting. And then Tammy and Chad both say, maybe they are influencing you too. They are charming, right?
Yes.
So we don't have any information about Jose Ojeda or anything about him, any criminal activity associated to his demise, right?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Judge, it's 12 o'clock.
Judge, it's 12 o'clock. I don't know. This may take a while.
Sure.
It's up to the court.
Yeah, obviously. Let's take our lunch recess. We try to do that at noon for timing of things. So that'll work out well. We are stopping right here about noon. We'll try to resume further testimony 1 o'clock and take the lunch break now.
And Judge, may I leave my stuff up here?
Yeah, we'll secure the courtroom and you can leave that there, Mr.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, please rise. Keep the courts again in session.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, we can have the jurors brought in, please.
All right. Here's our President Gunner for you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Please be seated. Okay, we're back on the record after the lunch recess on KCR 2221-1623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. Continuing with cross-examination of Detective Kaya Kamanu. Mr. Pryor, if you'd like to continue with cross, you may. Yes. What's being published there, counsel?
It's the same as before. I think it's the officer's report, exhibit number 14. We're just going through the same as we did previously.
Okay. Thank you. Exhibit 14 is,
Your Honor,
being published to the jurors. That's okay.
So, officer, again, in your report, you noted that these were relevant to your investigation. They're emails from Tammy's email account from someone named Julie Rowe. Is that right?
Yes.
And it looks like the emails are to Tammy, and it says something about support springcreekbooks.com, March 12, 2019. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay, so if you would be so kind as to just read from Chad down to Julie for me.
Chad, I met with the state president last night, and he has requested we stop publishing all my books. I told him I do not have the rights to the books and that my publisher has those rights. He asked me to contact you to request that we stop publishing. He has asked me to copy him on this email and send him your reply. He also asked me, he also said he is going to contact your state president, Julie.
Okay. So do you know what a stake president is?
I believe a stake president is over the stake of a ward, of the wards.
Okay. And is that, and I'm not familiar with this, but does that mean there's a number of wards or groups that are like neighborhoods and the stake president overlooks a number of these wards? Is that what it is?
From my understanding, yes.
Okay. Do you know who the stake president was in this email?
I do not.
But it appears that they're telling Julie Rowe. You know who Julie Rowe is?
Throughout the investigation, her name came up, and also known as a publisher or a book writer.
Right. And she was someone who put on presentations all over the Arizona, Utah, Idaho area about preparedness issues, right?
Yes.
And she published books about that as well, right?
Yes.
And is there anything in the indication of your review of the emails, why a stake president would inject himself into the publishing of books?
I'm not sure on that.
And again, told Julie Rowe that her stake president is going to contact Chad's stake president.
Correct.
Right? Correct?
Correct.
Okay. But there's nothing in the other emails that you had to show why a couple of stake presidents would interfere with Chad Daybell publishing his books?
I do not.
Okay. All right. Thank you. The next one we're talking about is from Tammy to Mark. And Mark, again, is Tammy's son, Mark, right?
Yes.
That's the youngest son, if I remember right.
Yes.
And the date of this email is March 31st of 2019, correct?
Yes.
And it's Tammy writing to her son, Mark. and I'll read. I've got Dad and Garth doing a C2 5K, and then in parentheses, couch to 5K. So I would you interpret that to mean that the C would mean couch and the number two would mean two, like TO to 5K? Is that how you would interpret that?
Yes.
And if I understand that correctly, what that would mean is that you're starting from the very beginning of your training and you may be a couch potato, right?
You could say that, yes.
Yeah. And you're starting from the very start of something and you're going to try to do a 5K, right?
Yes.
And it says with me, right?
Yes.
So that would imply on March 31st of 2019, we had three couch potatoes at the Daybell house.
Objection, Your Honor. Calls for speculation and misstates the email.
Sustained.
How do you interpret that?
That they just wanted to start working out and getting into shape.
Okay. From couch potato to 5K, right?
Objection, Your Honor. Again, misstates the evidence. Counsel's testifying. Move to strike.
Sustained. Stricken.
Okay. Then it goes on to say, we've done the first week twice because, quite frankly, I didn't feel ready to move on to the second week, but it should be good for us. Okay, good for me. I have to say, I admire you for running track. Starting from nothing is not easy. Now, when you see the term starting from nothing is not easy, it's not particular whether we're talking about Tammy starting from nothing or whether it's Mark starting from nothing, right?
Correct.
It's unclear there, correct?
Correct.
But then you put in there not the full email. Is there further explanation in there that maybe explains who we're talking about, who's starting from nothing on this couch potato issue?
No, there is not.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. And then we'll move on. And it's from Tammy to Mark again on April 14, 2019. I tripped over the duck gate on Saturday and landed hard on my right hand. And the bucket of eggs I was carrying, it hurt so bad, I just lay in the driveway and cried. Then I got up, cleaned up the egg mess with my left hand, and went in the house to find Dad. Luckily, I seemed to have only bruised it. Of course, Dad blessed it, so it may have been worse. Okay? And there's nothing. What's the evidentiary issue of this?
So during the investigation, it was said that Tammy had a hurt wrist.
Right.
And that she was taking medication for it. So this goes back to, instead of a possible fainting spell, she had tripped over the duck gate and fell and hurt her wrist. So that was relevant to me putting this in my report.
Okay, thank you. And again, that's not the full email that you provided to us today, right?
It was not.
Okay. And was there any further explanation that as to what caused Tammy to trip?
She tripped over a bucket.
Okay, did she trip because she had a dizzy spell? Did she trip because she had a seizure?
Well, this says I tripped over a duck gate. She tripped over a duck gate, causing her to fall.
Okay, so we don't know if it was just she ran into the duck gate or she had some sort of medical condition that caused her to trip over the duck gate, though, right?
Objection, Your Honor. Calls for speculation. The email speaks for itself and ask and answered.
Sustained.
You don't know the all of the facts behind whether... What centered around the reason for the trip over the duck gate? Would that be fair?
Objection, Your Honor. Calls for speculation. Again, the message speaks for itself.
I'm not asking him to speculate. I'm just asking whether it was explained, Judge.
Overruled.
In this email, I would just take it as she tripped over something.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Thank you. And then lastly, from Tammy to Mark on April 28th, Dad is in Houston and won't be back until Monday night. So you'll just have to just get to talk to me tomorrow. And what's the significance of that?
So on this one, this correlates with some of our other records showing that Chad was in Houston and that Tammy was home alone.
Okay. Next one was something about, I don't see something that identifies the date, but it was something about a zone conference. Do you know what that was about?
I am not sure on that.
Okay. And then, does it seem like your tapeworm medicine worked? Who are they? Who's talking to who there? Do you know?
I would believe Tammy is emailing and talking with Mark on this one.
Okay. So it's Tammy who's suggesting that there was some tapeworm incident. She was having some sort of malady.
Correct. This might be a continuation of the page before, okay. Possibly.
Okay.
And the page before would have been this malady with the tapeworm would have been on the 28th of 2019. Would that be fair?
Correct. Yes.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Okay. And then she goes on, I guess I should ask you, is that Tammy who said, I haven't slept well since Dad has been gone. I'm hoping to sleep well tonight.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Then we're going to June 30th of 2019. Is that right?
Yes.
And then let me read this and then I'll talk to you a little bit about that. Another adventure we had this week involves a raccoon. Last year we had skunks. This year, a raccoon. We thought stray cats were getting into the cat food, but nope. Garth saw it one night and it was a raccoon. We borrowed a little trap from Matt Price, but when Garth went out to check it that night, the raccoon ran up the tree by the trap. It was huge. No way it was going to fit in the trap. It was larger than Chase and had really long teeth. Garth kept his flashlight on it and called us in the house. Dad got his gun. He shot it out of the tree, then shot it again as it tried to run across the yard. We now have a raccoon buried in the compost heap. Something else got into a cat food a couple of nights ago, so we borrowed a larger trap from Matt. We didn't catch anything last night, so we'll see if we get anything tonight. If we do catch anything, Matt asked us not to shoot it because he has a friend who will use whatever we catch to train dogs. Joel, I think that's Nickel, told me they've got a couple of raccoons and skunks they've been trying to trap, and some coyotes have been eating chickens at houses over by Jordan Graham's house. In all, it's been a crazy year with wildlife. Do you see that?
Yes.
And could you identify the date when they're having this crazy year with wildlife?
June 30th, 2019.
Okay. And the allegation with Chad Daybell is that there was an email that the prosecutor has alleged may have a different meaning, but that was September 30th of 2019, correct? September of 2019, I'm sorry.
I guess I'm unaware of what email you're referring okay. to.
Well, would it be fair that the allegations are that they discovered JJ and Tylee's body and that they are presuming as part of your investigation that they were buried in Mr. Daybell's property in September of 2019?
Yes.
Okay. And there was some email by Chad Daybell that made mention of a raccoon. You recall that?
Objection, Your Honor. Misstates the evidence.
Stand.
Okay. So from what I gather, the allegations about the children being buried on Chad Daybell's property was the same year as this email as well, correct?
Yes.
And we're on June 30th of 2019. And the allegations against Mr. Daybell relate to around September, sometime in September of 2019, correct?
Yes.
So 2.5, 3 months later, there's at least two references about raccoons. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay. And there's a reference that they buried this raccoon in a compost heap. Where's the compost heap on Mr. Daybell's property? Do you know?
I'm not sure about okay. that.
All right. And then we go on to July 7th. Of 2019, right?
Yes.
Here is the second raccoon. The first one was shot. Garth said, this one is smaller than the first one. I like how the kittens are looking at him too. Okay. And that's from March 7th. And that's also relating to this raccoon issue. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay. And then we have a picture. Dad has lost a lot of weight. He just doesn't seem to eat much anymore. And he is exercising. You see that, right?
Yes.
But above that is a trap. Can you explain, does that look like a trap?
Yes.
And somewhere in the back top of the picture, it looks like there's some sort of raccoon in it. Is that what you see?
That's what I'm trying to see. Okay. I see the kittens there.
I do. Okay. And the previous motions made mention of Tammy saying, here's a picture of the second raccoon. It's a smaller one. So
would you like me to point it out? I just...
You did find it? Go ahead.
So it's kind of hard to tell. The raccoon is right there.
Okay. Is it, officer, is that raccoon in the trap?
I believe so.
Okay. Okay. Then we go down and we have a picture of Chad and Tammy, right?
Yes.
And again, not the full email, but your perception is that there's nothing there that was relevant to this investigation, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then does that appear to be the side of the house?
Appears to be the back of the house, I believe.
Okay. And from the email, that would be a picture of July 7th of 2019.
I'd have to look at the first page. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
August 4th of 2019. Dad is in Arizona. He's speaking to a small group on Sunday night and at a girls' camp on Monday night. He flies home on Tuesday, right?
Yes.
And that had reference to the August 4th meeting with Melanie Gibb and Lori Vallow and all of the ladies who met Sunday at a girls' meeting at Lori Vallow's house. Is that what that was about?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Okay. But that's not the full email. But again, you determined there wasn't any relevance to anything else. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Then we go on again. And we talk about from Tammy to Mark, again, Tammy Dable to Mark on September 15th of 2019, right?
Yes.
And this was about a month before Tammy passed away. Would that be fair?
Close to, yes.
Okay. And she says, this was taken on Saturday. Joe planted potatoes in his garden. I had been sick in bed all day with a really bad cold, but I put on a hat and went over to pose for this picture, so it looks like I'm really a real Idahoan. But I went right back to bed after we took it. I'm still sick today, and my nose won't stop running. I will go to work tomorrow, though, because I am helping with testing and getting sub work would be more trouble than it was worth, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then there's some mention of continue whining. I burned my arm today when taking some rolls out of the oven, right?
Yes.
And the relevance of this is that it was just mentioning that 3 weeks before Sam... 3 weeks before Tammy passed away, she was sick for one day and basically was sick the entire next day and just got up and made herself put on a good face and made herself and go back to work. Right?
Objection, yeah. Your Honor. Counsel's testifying. I don't hear a question there.
Stain.
She wasn't feeling well that day, right?
Correct.
It appears that she was sick the following day, right?
Yes.
She spent a significant amount of time in bed.
Yes.
And she put on the courage to go to work on Monday, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then the one, your mom came to visit us Friday night and Saturday morning. Under orders from Grandma Cooper, I'll let her tell the story. What's the relevance of that?
So the relevance to that is that is from Ron Douglas to Mark. Which okay. Ron Douglas is Mark's grandpa.
Okay.
Through our investigation, Tammy did not drive very far alone. And so it was important enough for Ron, the grandpa, to email Mark and say, hey, your mom came to visit us, which they live in Utah, which is 3.5 hours away, and she drove all by herself.
Okay. And this was October 6th of 2019, right?
Correct.
And you were aware that the reason Tammy Daybell didn't drive by herself is because of some medical concerns about her balance and...
Objection, Your Honor. Counsel's testifying. Facts not in evidence. Move to strike.
Sustained.
Are you aware that the reason Tammy Daybell didn't drive is because of some medical concerns she had for herself?
No, I am not.
Okay. I went down to Springfield by myself, October 6th. I drove there by myself and then drove home by myself. I'm a big girl now. I can tell you more about this in a bit, right?
Yes.
So by your indications, you're suggesting on October 6th, 13 days before her death, 12 days before her death, that she was able to drive. Is that what this is about?
That's what she's emailing Mark, yes.
And was there any indication that prior to that time she didn't drive or that she was concerned about driving?
Long distances, yes.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Okay. And this again touches on, I think we talked about this previously about the Wednesday during the day with Reagan Price and the person who took her dog. And that leads into what we originally started with. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And then there's one final email that talks about Matt Price sending audiobooks for Tammy to listen to, right?
Yes.
And that was for her trip?
Tammy sent those, I believe, to Matt Price with codes to get into the audio book.
That's right. I'm sorry. You're right. Okay. Thank you. And if I could just have a minute, Judge. Thank you.
You may.
One last area. On the day that you got the call about Tammy's death, You received a call from who again? I'm sorry.
I missed a call from Deputy Greenhalgh.
Okay. But then you said something about you followed up with it later and did have a discussion, or are my notes not accurately reflecting?
So I missed that call and called her back about an hour and a half later.
Okay.
And spoke with her on that, yes.
And then she recited the facts about what she observed. Is that right?
She informed me that she was on an unattended death. I went through and asked her if there's anything out of the ordinary, anything suspicious, and she told me there was not.
Okay, so according to Officer Greenell, there was nothing suspicious. Is that right?
That's what she told me, yes.
Okay, and then according to, did you have a chance to look at Brenda Dye's report as a result of this investigation?
Not the AG's report, no. That
I'm not talking the AG's report. I'm talking about Brenda Dye's diagram and report about this unattended death.
I did not.
Okay. So from your perspective, when Officer Greenall contacted you and advised that there was nothing suspicious about the death, at that point, it did not require you to take any further action. Would that be fair?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Judge, that's all I have. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, you're right. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Thank you. I wouldn't be able to make it without you.
All right. Redirect.
Thank you, Your Honor. We're going to, I'm going to start a little backwards here and start with that last exhibit. You were shown some emails that you reviewed in the last exhibit by defense counsel. And there was some indication in there about people being light and dark. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Through your investigation, did you learn who it was that would label people as light or dark?
Chad Daybell.
You were also shown an email about Chad needing to do some work on Mark's camera. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And the indication was Chad was the one that had to do that work, correct?
Yes.
And I think specifically it referenced the camera was cursed.
Yes.
Mark wasn't at the Daybell residence. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Mark was on his mission?
Yes.
It was brought up that Chad had labeled some 12-year-olds as dark. Do you recall that?
Yes.
You were asked if those kids are still alive, to the best of your knowledge, are they? To
the best of my knowledge, yes. I hope so.
Were those Lori's minor children?
No.
Were they obstacles to Chad and Lori being together?
No.
There was also an email on March 31st of 2019 where Tammy was talking about getting ready for a 5K. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Did that indicate to you that Tammy was active?
It's hard to say active. Working out, you do different things, right? And trying to stay in shape, you do different things. Some people may run to stay in shape. Some people may go lift weights to stay in shape. So that may just have been something different she wanted to try.
Did it indicate to you that Tammy had a desire to at least do something to be active?
Yes.
And then you were shown an email that Tammy sent to Mark on April 28th of 2019. About Chad being in Houston?
Yes.
And can you remind us what the significance of that was?
The significance with that was we have information that Chad had gone there with Lori. And her emailing Mark saying that Chad's in Houston just kind of confirmed that.
And later on in that same email, we see Tammy say, "I haven't slept well since Dad has been gone." Do you recall that?
Yes.
So Tammy indicated she wasn't sleeping well, and Chad was in Houston with Lori.
Yes.
Then the next one, there's a couple texts about a raccoon. Do you recall, or not texts, excuse me, a couple emails about a raccoon?
Yes.
And the first one is on June 30th of 2019, correct?
Yes.
And in that one, there's mention of having a flashlight.
Yes.
Did it appear that the raccoon was shot at night?
Yes.
Then we see another email on July 7th of 2019 with a image of a raccoon in a trap, correct?
Yes.
Do you recall ever seeing an email from Tammy to Mark about a raccoon in September of 2019?
I did not.
So Tammy emailed Mark twice about seeing a raccoon, but no messages in September of 2019 to Mark that you recall?
Not on this email, no.
Then you were asked about the message from Tammy to Mark on August 4th of 2019 about Chad being in Arizona. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And in the message, Tammy indicates that Chad is at a girls' camp.
Yes.
Was he at a girls' camp?
He was at a conference I believe, at Melanie's or correction, Lori's house.
So again, he was with Lori on August 4th of 2019.
Yes.
Do you recall when Charles Vallow was killed?
July 11th, 2019.
There was an email also shown that was from Tammy to Mark on September 15th of 2019, where Tammy references having a cold. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And Tammy indicated she was in bed for a few days.
Yes.
And that was in September.
Yes.
Any similar email message to Mark in October about Tammy being sick?
No.
Then you're asked about some messages on October 6th, one from Ron Douglas to Mark and one from Tammy to Mark about Tammy visiting Springville, Utah. Do you recall those?
Yes.
Through your investigation, did you learn anything about Tammy having a medical concern that kept her from driving?
No.
Through your investigation, did you learn who encouraged her to go to Springville that weekend?
Yes.
And who was that?
Chad Daybell.
And circling back, Detective, do you recall the email, you've been shown it by both myself and defense counsel, that was from Tammy to Mark about the attempted shooting?
Yes.
And you were asked some questions about Regan Price and Tammy mentioning some things Regan had shared with her about a lady trying to steal Regan's dog. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Regan described a lady trying to steal her dog, correct?
Yes.
Did Regan ever mention the lady having a firearm?
No.
Did Regan ever mention the lady being dressed all in black?
No.
You were asked quite a bit about the Daybell's driveway. How many driveways are at the Daybell residence?
Two.
And you were asked about a longer driveway. Would you consider that the front or back driveway or side driveway?
The back driveway is a very longer driveway compared to the front driveway.
And Your Honor, I'm going to ask to be handed State's Exhibit 291.
Very well.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.